भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम टेक्स्ट नंबर 3 टिल टेक्स्ट नंबर 8 of the 8th chapter of the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter entitled The Churning of the Milk Ocean. Tatascha virabhut sakshat Shri Rama Bhagavat para Ranjayanti Disha Kantya Vidyut Sauda Maniyatha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Then there appeared the goddess of fortune Rama, who is absolutely dedicated to be enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She appeared like electricity, surpassing the lightning that might illuminate a marble mountain. Purport. Shri means opulence. Krishna is the owner of all opulences. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam nyatva mam shanti mrichyati. This peace formula for the world is given in Bhagavad Gita 5.29. When people know that the Supreme Lord Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the most intimate well-wishing friend of all living entities, peace and prosperity will ensue all over the world. Unfortunately, the conditioned souls, being placed into illusion by the external energy of the Lord, want to fight with one another, and therefore peace is disturbed. The first prerequisite for peace is that all the wealth presented by Shri, the goddess of fortune, be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone should give up his false proprietorship over worldly possessions and offer everything to Krishna. This is the teaching of the Krishna Conscious Movement. Om Agya. So I'll read the translation of the text number 3 to text number 8 again. I think Sunday was text number 2. Where the Surabhi cow appeared and it was blessings throughout the day. From all forms. In fact, because of the Surabhi cow, Lakshmi also appeared on Sunday itself. A lot of donations came. Thereafter, a horse named Uchchaishrava, which was as white as the moon, was generated. Bali Maharaj desired to possess this horse, and Indra, the king of heaven, did not protest, for he had previously been advised by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text number 4. As the next result of churning, the king of elephants named Airavat was generated. This elephant was white with its four tusks, and it defied the glories of the Kailash mountain, the glorious abode of Lord Shiva. Text number 5. Thereafter, O king, 8 great elephants which could go in any directions were generated. They were headed by Airavan. 8 she elephants headed by Abhramu were also generated. Text number 6. Generated thereafter from the great ocean were celebrated gems, Kaustubha Mani and Padma Raga Mani. Lord Vishnu, to decorate his chest, desired to possess them. Generated next was the Parijat flower, which decorates the celestial planets. O king, as you fulfill the desires of everyone on this planet by fulfilling all ambitions, the Parijat fulfills the desires of everyone. Text number 7. Next, there appeared the Apsaras, who are used as prostitutes on the heavenly planets. in bracket. They were fully decorated with golden ornaments and lockets were dressed in fine and attractive clothing. The Apsaras moved very slowly in an attractive style that bewilders the inhabitants of heavenly planets. Then there appeared the goddess of fortune, Rama, who is absolutely dedicated to being enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She appeared like electricity surpassing the lightning that might illuminate a marble mountain. So I seek the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas, the devotees present. So many new things are coming from the Samudra Manthan. And we don't know the importance of most of the things in detail. His Grace Madan Gopal Prabhu already gave such an elaborate description of Surabhi cow. And I was thinking, what should I speak on a horse? So I was just wondering, I asked Madan Gopal Prabhu, you have already showered the nectar of the cow and horse is not even so practical in Kali Yuga. So Dayanidhi Prabhu reminded me. I was telling him, abhi ghode ke bare mein kya bolu? And he said, earlier ghoda was the most important thing and now also ghoda is the most important thing. So anyways, I just wanted to share some things about the things which came from the Samudra Manthan. Samudra Manthan is also known as the Amrit Mahotsav because it generated a lot of nectar which was distributed to the demigods. And it is also known as the Amrita Akhyanam, the glories of which will always remain and it will distribute nectar to all those who will hear. I'll be speaking on only these two things which appeared, Airavat and Lakshmi. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Uchchaishravasam Ashwanam Airavatam Gajendranam. So these two personalities who appeared, the horse and the elephant, are no ordinary personalities because Krishna attributes himself to their glories. And not only that, in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, Balram also is described that when he decorated himself, when he was playing with his set of gopis, he was like Airavat amongst the she elephants. So there is some significance and we don't have a lot of information. But Uchchaishrava was a very special horse. His quality was he would never walk on the land. He would always fly, and all I could gather that his flight was faster than the airplanes of those times, the swans which would fly. So he was a very desirable horse. The next object which appeared, the next living entity which appeared was Airavat. Ramayana mentions who was this Airavat. The mother of Airavat was named as Iravati, who was the granddaughter of Kashyap Muni. And the story goes that how Airavat was actually born. When Garuda, the eagle devotee of the Lord, came out of the egg, the shell of the egg broke into two halves. And Brahma actually took both the eggs in the both hands and he chanted certain mantras. And from the left broken shell was generated Airavat, Airavan and the other eight elephants, the male elephants. And Prabhupada explains in the next verse where Shukdev Goswami explains that then other eight she elephants were born. So from the right broken shell of the egg, the 8 she-elephants were born, which were headed by Abhram. Prabhupada also gives the name of the 8 elephants. Pundarik, Vaman, Airavan, Kumuda, Anjana, Pushpadanta, Sarvabhauma, and Supratika. So Abhram, this elephant which is mentioned in the verse by Shukdev Goswami, is actually, she was the wife of the male elephant, the main elephant, Airavat. And all these 8 elephants are the main principal deities which guide the 8 directions which we hear in the scriptures, the 8 directions in the scriptures. So they are headed by these 8 elephants, they guide, and Airavat is the ruler of the elephant who is controlled by Indra. Airavat is also known as one who could actually move the clouds. He could create the clouds actually. The way Indra actually showers rain is explained that Airavat would pull the water from the planetary systems below, which there where there is abundant water, and he takes the water and showers on the clouds, and then the clouds, they give rain. So Airavat is also responsible for helping Indra to cause rain. In South India, we see how elephants are worshipped in Srirangam and other temples. Guruvayur temple. Also in Srirangam temple, they have a great importance. So it is explained in the Gajalakshan Shastra, where there are more than 10,000 verses glorifying how exactly an elephant should be, the description of elephant and the most auspicious signs on the elephant. Like, it should have a broad forehead, it should have a lower back, the tongue should be of this color, the tail should be this way, the hair on the tail should be this way. So it gives a detailed explanation. And depending on that, the traditional elephants were used. And it is explained that Airavat had all those qualities which are explained in that. So, no doubt, he's a very special elephant. And he was also a part of the most of the offenses of Indra when he attacked Vrindavan. In fact, Airavat was there when Indra attacked Vrindavan, when Indra attacked Hanuman also, to control Hanuman when he was terrorizing the universe, playing with the universe rather. So, but yet Airavat was the one who got the opportunity to actually shower Abhishek, give Abhishek to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And apart from that, I exactly don't know what are the specific glories of Airavat, why Krishna mentions. But he is the elephant who has all the perfect qualities, and therefore Krishna and Balram also, both are described to be as Airavat, are attributed. Then the other item which comes are the Apsaras. So there is nothing much to discuss or describe. So I will speak about little bit about Lakshmi. Lakshmi Devi is one of the main principal acharyas, or one who heads one sampradaya, the Sri Sampradaya. And therefore, the Sri Sampradaya gives greater description about the Lakshmi. And we generally don't have much about Lakshmi Devi except for the reference with worshipping Lord Krishna. But the Divya Desham give an elaborate description. Now there are two kinds of Lakshmi. One is the Sampat Rupa Lakshmi, which is that Lakshmi which just appears for the sake of giving some kind of opulence to everyone. And then there is Bhagavat Priyasi Lakshmi, that Lakshmi which never leaves the service of the Lord at any moment. Just like, of course, it's the same personality who expands in different ways. It's like how Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, but yet he is present in so many forms. He comes here, he goes to the, and therefore we know him as Vasudeva Krishna, Partha Sarthi Krishna and other. So this Lakshmi, Sampat Rupa Lakshmi, is the Lakshmi which actually appeared in the Samudra Manthan. Shukdev Goswami explains that she was so beautiful that Vidyut Saudamani Yatha, that her, she appeared like electricity surpassing the lightning that might even illuminate a marble mountain. So basically this mountain called as Saudamani, there was a mountain called Sudama, and when it was a marble mountain basically, and when electricity, when lightning would fall on the mountain, by the reflection from that mountain the lightning would become even more brighter than as it was, and the beauty of lightning, the intensity would increase even more, and therefore she is compared that her effulgence was even beautiful than the lightning which would fall on Saudamani and reflect. So that is the beauty which she appeared. Lakshmi is always attributed the figure 8, and there, and that's why she is also called as Ashta Lakshmi. Long time ago, almost a year ago, I was just, when Madan Gopal Prabhu and other devotees, they were learning Sanskrit, I came across glories of Sanskrit language and the beauty of the Bhagavatam. And there were certain verses where it was described how the Bhagavatam, the poetry of the language, the composition of Shukdev Goswami is so beautiful. Actually, when Parikshit Maharaj and Shukdev Goswami were talking, there was not already pre-planned question and answer session, that these are the questions I will answer, and therefore he designed it in certain way. Depending on the doubt and the confusions, Parikshit Maharaj would at random ask certain questions and Shukdev Goswami would answer. But the whole thing, although it was this way, Vyasdev compiled it in such a wonderful way that it has so many hidden significance. So this article actually was written by one of the Sanskrit scholars who was telling that it Ashta Lakshmi, or Lakshmi who has 8 forms basically. Lakshmi is also always known as Ashta Lakshmi. She has 8 forms. And now, so he compares that in the churning of the ocean, interesting thing, I don't know how much it is significance from devotional point of view, but it's interesting. The first item which appeared from the churning of the milk ocean was the poison. The second item which appeared was the Surabhi cow. The third which appeared was the horse. Fourth which appeared was Airavat and the other elephants. So elephant. The fifth which appeared was the Kaustubha gem and the Padma Raga gems. The sixth which appeared was the flower. The seventh which appeared were the Apsaras, and the eighth which appeared was Lakshmi. So he says Lakshmi Devi, Ashta Lakshmi appeared as the 8th item in the Samudra Manthan, and this is described in the 8th verse of the 8th canto of the 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he says this Bhagavatam has so many wonderful correlations and connections, that is the beauty with which Vyasdev has composed. Only those who are well versed and those who know in detail about the various personalities, because in fact, Prabhupada also did not have so much time to explain about each and every. If he would have lived more, he would have written so many things about various personalities, Puranas. But the references of certain personalities just come in the Bhagavatam and then they are never spoken about. We don't know what's there. But if there are people who are in this field, they can actually extract so much nectar just by the basic arrangement of the texts. So, Lakshmi Devi, and not only that, in this first, this verse, text number 8, the first 8 syllables After the first eight syllables, the next eight syllables are only the names of Goddess Lakshmi. Shri Rama Bhagavat Para. So I found it interesting. I thought I'll share. Everything 8, 8, 8, 8. And definitely it seems to be that there must be. So he writes, it is no coincidence that such things can happen. It is the composition, the master literary composition. So basically these eight Lakshmis, the Divya Deshams explain about who are these eight Lakshmis. They are the eight expansions of the same Lakshmi who serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The first is Adi Lakshmi, or the first Lakshmi is amongst the eight Lakshmis which actually appeared. She was the Lakshmi which appeared in the churning of the milk ocean. So the story is explained how Mahalakshmi was there in the heavenly kingdom and she saw some apsaras who were singing so beautifully. And seeing the apsara singing beautifully, she was wearing a garland. She removed the garland and gave it to one of the apsaras. Later that apsara, she was going, walking around and she saw Durvasa Muni. And she gave her garland to Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni accepted that garland. Later Durvasa Muni, when he was going, he saw Indra on Airavat. He saw Indra and Durvasa Muni gave this garland to Indra. And Indra rejected the garland and gave it to the elephant. This offended Durvasa Muni and Durvasa Muni cursed that now you will be bereft of your kingdom. And that's how all this conflict happened. And they said when the Kurma Avatar comes, everything will be restored back. And all that what you have been, all those things which are snatched away from you. Basically, Asuras took everything Indra had. The wealth, the apsaras, the animals or whatever he had. And then the whole pastime comes, how the Samudra Mantra and the same Lakshmi then appeared from the Samudra Mantra. So this is the first Lakshmi which appears. And therefore she is known as the Adi Lakshmi. All the different Lakshmis, they have different number of hands. Generally, or most of them have four hands. Some have six hands, some have eight hands. And each Lakshmi has two hands, always have Abhay Mudra and Varada Mudra. And rest other hands have either lotus, like Adi Lakshmi has, one hand has a lotus and one has a white flag. Just like we have Narayan with different forms, Shankha Chakra Gada, Shankha Chakra Gada and Padma, different combinations, something like that. Then the second Lakshmi, the second personality of Lakshmi is known as the Dhanya Lakshmi, or the Lakshmi who favors the requirements for food, which is necessary for subsistence. This Lakshmi, as we see sometimes photographs of Lakshmi with sugar cane. At least I have seen it. I don't know whether you have seen or not. Sugar cane and paddy crop and banana and gada and others. So this is Dhanya Lakshmi. She basically appears to favor vegetation and grow grain so that human beings can subsist. So this is the Lakshmi which actually appeared when Janak Maharaj was tilling the land and Sita Devi appeared. So Divya Deshams explained that this Dhanya Lakshmi is Mother Sita actually. Therefore she came from Mother Earth during the tilling of the land. So there is this story in the Mahabharata where Draupadi was given the Amuda Surabhi pot because they were in the jungle, they would not get abundant food to eat. So Lord Krishna had given this pot from where if you scratch, you can get as much food you want. But the limitation was you can do it only once in a day. So once Draupadi, after feeding all the Pandavas or her husbands and herself, she was done with it. And suddenly, we know this story when Durvasa Muni appeared. with his thousands of disciples. And she was so confused now what to do. And Lord Krishna then appears and then he tells you, don't worry, give me that pot. And from that pot he brings out one grain and he eats and Durvasa Muni and all his disciples are satisfied. So the followers of Sri Sampradaya, the Divya Desham, they tell that actually Krishna took that grain, but actually he made this Dhanya Lakshmi to appear in the form of the grain, and then that grain satisfied all of them. So they have very interesting connections. They also say Narayan, this Lakshmi who is always married to Narayan, always worshipper of Narayan. Narayan has this name of Pachai Mal. Pachai means also green. One of the meaning of it. And therefore, being serving this personality who has a green hue, out of that green hue, the entire vegetation is green in color. So this is Dhanya Lakshmi, which, so for the grace of, so if you want to grow nice crops and agriculture, one should worship Dhanya Lakshmi. Then there is Vidya Lakshmi, the Lakshmi which actually bestows knowledge. This same Lakshmi is also known as Saraswati actually. This Vidya Lakshmi is responsible for good knowledge. And there is this nice story about the famous poet of India, Kalidas, who became a devotee, who became a wise person after worshipping this Vidya Lakshmi, who also manifests as Kali. So Divya Deshams, they also, the commentaries, they also tell that Kalidas became the great poet after worshipping Vidya Lakshmi. And I was just sharing this story 2 weeks ago, how Kalidas became a great poet. Kalidas was actually a great fool. He was the greatest fool of the kingdom. And such a great fool that once upon a time when he was actually cutting the branch of a tree, he never even realized that he's sitting at the wrong end of the branch. And he was cutting and one pandit came and told that, what are you doing? You are cutting this branch of the tree. You are sitting at the other end and you will directly fall. After carefully observing the pandit's comment, he saw the branch, he saw everything and then he still continued. He still could not understand and he did not take it seriously till he fell down. And after he fell down, he felt that, my God, he is really a pandit. That was his intelligence, such dull-headed person. So in the kingdom which he was staying, there was this princess called as Vidyottama. She was a very proud princess and she was also so proud because she had so much knowledge. Therefore, she was known as Vidyottama. One was great in Vidya, knowledge, Uttama. And what she would do was she would call various scholars and pandits to the kingdom and she would defeat them. And after defeating them, she would insult them. So the Brahmanas could not tolerate this. They would feel that she has knowledge, that is all okay. But to insult, to deride, make a fool of them, that is too much. So they got this irritation in the heart and they decided, we will take revenge. So one day all the pandits thought, and Vidyottama had said that, I will marry only that person who will defeat me in debate. So the pandits thought, "Man, we will now break her, crush her pride." So all the pandits of the kingdom, they came together and they decided to do this. And one pandit say, "I know some person who can be married to this Vidyottama. He is Kalidas." So they say, "How could you marry Kalidas? He's so such a fool." So they devised a plan. They went to Kalidas and told him, that, do you want to get married to the princess? So she said, he said, yes, I would like to get married to the princess. So he was told that, okay, only thing required is you keep your mouth shut. We will tell the princess that you are on a Maunvrat and you are a great sage. And whatever she tells you and whatever you understand, you do the needful, we will do the intermediate communication. But you should keep Bhavanvrat and you will get married. So he decided, okay, if that is the only requisite, very easy. So a debate was arranged. Vidyatama summoned Kalidas. And she was told that he is on Mahanvrat and he has... So Vidyatama said, if he is on Mahanvrat, then as well let us wait till his vrat ends. So they said, no, he is going to go after 2 days. And he, you never know that great saintly people, they are on pilgrimage, they return after many years. You can never tell. He said, okay. Even if he is Mahanvrat, I know how to communicate if he is a great sage. So both of them were standing in front of each other. So Vidyatama started the communication in Maun. She raised one finger. So when she raised one finger, basically she was on a throne and Kalidas was down. So when she raised, when she put the finger like this, she was actually referring that there is one God. There is God, the Supreme Personality of God. So Kalidas did like this. So Vidyatama was impressed. My God. Vidyatama thought that Kalidas is telling this God has two forms, Nara and Narayan. She was impressed. But Kalidas, what he was thinking when Vidyatama did like this, he was such a dull-headed person. He thought that Vidyatama is telling, I will blind your one eye. So Kalidas was telling, I will blind your both eyes. So Vidyatama was thoroughly impressed. And then Vidyatama did like this, saying that the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, ego. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Kalidas thought that Vidyatama is telling, I will slap you. So he did like this. I will punch you. So Vidyatama was so impressed. She thought that Kalidas is telling these five elements are together in this one body. So went on the discussion between Kalidas and Vidyatama. And she was humbled and she got married to Kalidas. And it just takes a few days for you never know a fool until he opens his mouth actually. So after a few days, Vidyatama realized, in fact, he told that in the first night itself, she understood that he is a great fool. And after 2-3 days of trying to still actually understand whether he is deliberately behaving foolishly or genuinely a fool, she just took 3 days and she understood that he is actually a fool. And she rejected him. And Kalidas, feeling the insult, and she said that I wanted to marry the most wisest person. You are the most foolish of all. So Kalidas felt so insulted and I am such a foolish person. And he was walking towards some river bank where he saw some washermen washing the clothes. And they were hitting the clothes against the rocks. You know how the dhobis they wash. And he saw the rocks where the clothes were being hit. They became very soft just because they were regularly being hit. So this analogy came to his mind that if the rocks which are so rough can become so soft by this beating of the cloth, if my dull mind is hit with this knowledge, then it can become such soft and refined, wonderful. There is no explanation given how such a dull person could get this analogy. But somehow he got it and then he started worshipping Vidya Lakshmi, the manifestation who manifests as also Kali. And therefore he was known as Kalidas. The next Lakshmi is Gaja Lakshmi. And this Lakshmi is generally found in most of our houses. We see the Lakshmi Devi with both elephants on her sides and hands. Two lotuses and other two hands are actually showering wealth. So there is also a wonderful story. Why this Gaja Lakshmi? Actually Gajendra and Lakshmi would regularly offer prayers and worship to Narayan and flowers. So Gajendra could not offer flowers so fast as Lakshmi could offer. So one time Gajendra was so depressed, he was so sad, now what to do? I am not so good as Lakshmi Devi. So Narayan told that because he is so sad because of your efficient service, just give him some attention. And therefore Lakshmi personally, she came and she would accept all the offerings and attend to the offerings what Gajendra would give to Narayan henceforth. Therefore, one manifestation of Lakshmi is with Gajendra, the elephants. Who are all the elephants are holding this lotus, if you have seen carefully. They want to offer it. And because they feel that Lakshmi is doing more service, Lakshmi says, no, we are doing the service together, and she accompanies. So that is a pastime of this Gaja Lakshmi. The fifth is Shri Santan Lakshmi. The Lakshmi which favors, by worshipping this Lakshmi, we are blessed with a child. The women are blessed with the child. So, generally in traditional Indian systems, after the couples would get married, they worship this Santana Lakshmi. The story connected to Santana Lakshmi also. Each Lakshmi has one story. So, there was a king whose name was Padmakshan. And he was a great devoted king, and he would do great tapasya. So one time he desired that Lakshmi Devi only should be my daughter. So he did great tapasya unto Lakshmi Devi, unto Mahalakshmi, and desiring for a daughter who will be Lakshmi Devi herself. So after the tapasya was done, Lakshmi Devi appeared and she asked, what do you want? He said, I want you to be my daughter. She said, I am constantly in the service of Narayan. I cannot leave that. It is impossible for me to independently come and offer myself to you. So if you want me as your daughter, then you worship Narayan. And if he gives you the benediction, then I will come as your daughter. So he started then worshipping Narayan. And Narayan was pleased. And Narayan said, okay, I'll give you this benediction. And to Padmakshan, this King Padmakshan, Narayan gave the benediction that Lakshmi will be born to you. And she was known as Padmai. After few years, when this Lakshmi grew up, this king thought that she should be married to the most perfect person because she was having such an extraordinary beauty which could not be surpassed to anyone. So he called all the great kings and whoever was present for the Swayamvar ceremony. But no one would fit. So then he said that anyone, if there is any person who can color himself with the hue of the sky, then I will offer myself to that person. So all the kings and asuras, they felt that how can somebody color himself with the hue of the sky? It is not possible. So they felt that Padmakshan is actually making a mockery of all of them. So the kings left, but the asuras, they started fighting with Padmakshan. This is unfair. And eventually they killed him. And when they killed him, when Padmai came to know that my father is killed, she also got shocked and she also jumped into the fire, seeing that the entire kingdom is destroyed by the asuras. So after some time, when she appeared back from the fire, when she saw the asuras has gone, she saw that there is no one else. The entire, it was complete disaster and nothing is there. So she started again doing tapasya to Narayan, asking for a proper connection to the creation of the Lord. And then Lord gave her a benediction, and she was the one who appeared as Dhanya Lakshmi. Because she jumped into the fire and then she was there. And then when Janak Maharaj was stealing the land, she, this Lakshmi later appeared as Dhanya Lakshmi. So the same manifestations basically. Then the sixth Lakshmi is Dhairya Lakshmi or Veer Lakshmi. This is the Lakshmi which has weapons. Shankha, Chakra, bow, arrow and all those things. So she is responsible for giving courage and patience also. Dhairya means courage and also patience for one to fight in the day-to-day course of one's devotional service. So there's a story about one king whose name was Bhoj Rajan. This king had great devotion towards Lakshmi. And one day while he was performing this puja to the Lakshmi, basically he had this Ashta Lakshmi. Those who are worshippers of Lakshmi, they have these eight forms. So center is Mahalakshmi, and then they have this 1, 2, 3, if you have seen those pictures. So he was worshipping the Ashta Lakshmi and he saw that Lakshmis are all sad today, one fine day. And then he confronted them and he asked that, why are you all looking so sad? They said that, my dear king, we have favored you so much, but now it is our time to go. We have to leave. Our services are required somewhere else. So Bhoj Rajan became so anxious. He thought that, how can they leave me? It was not just because of the wealth, but because of the devotion he had. He did not want them to leave. So he requested that, if all of you want to go, my only request is that at least one of you stay. 7 of you can go. But don't all of you, please don't go. So they said, okay, you decide which one should stay. So he decided that, okay, Dhairya Lakshmi should stay with me, the Veera Lakshmi. Because he was a king, he thought that if this Lakshmi is there, I'll be at least able to do my services. So when they heard that Dhairya Lakshmi is going to stay, the other Lakshmi said that without this Lakshmi, we don't move anywhere. So if she's going to stay, we all will stay together. And hearing this, all the Lakshmis, they decided to stay. So the South Indian Acharyas, they explain that in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when Arjun was confronted with Dronacharya and Bhishma, trying to fight them, he became weak-hearted and he lost his courage and patience also for the inevitable, to fight his own. And therefore, Krishna favored him by the mercy of Dhairya Lakshmi, the required, so that he can fight this war against his own people, whom he loved. The next is Dhanalakshmi. Dhanalakshmi is very popular. Dhanalakshmi chambers, everywhere. Dhanalakshmi is the most popular. Dhanalakshmi store, Dhanalakshmi chamber, Dhanalakshmi auto. So that Lakshmi which just gives you a lot of wealth, that is Dhanalakshmi, and people worship her the most. Eighth Lakshmi is Sri Vijay Lakshmi, who is also known as Rajya Lakshmi, or that Lakshmi which has the power to govern, command or lead. So anybody who is favored with this Vijay Lakshmi can win over anything. So therefore, great rulers worship this Vijay Lakshmi. In the South India, South Indian kingdom, there was this king called Vidyaranar, who led his life devoting to this Vidya Lakshmi, and he did severe penances worshipping Lakshmi and Narayan. And he had this desire that he should be getting this favor from this Lakshmi. So he did severe penances. Sorry, he was not a king. He was just an ordinary poor person. He worshipped Lakshmi thinking that I should get lot of wealth. And he did the penances. Mother Lakshmi appeared and she told that, I would like to give you the penances, but because your karmas don't fit in this particular lifetime, I cannot favor you. But next lifetime, I will definitely give you the wealth which you require. So meanwhile, he was so sad that now that I'm anyways going to be poor, what do I do? And he started thinking about Shankaracharya. And then he thought, might as well live a renounced life, no point in wasting. So he renounced his life. The moment he renounced his life, immediately Lakshmi Devi came and she said, I will offer you now everything. So now he was already a sannyasi. He thought, how can I accept now? Now that I am a sannyasi, there is no point in accepting any wealth from you. So it's too late. But he said that, okay, if you want to favor me with something, he knew at that time there were this Islamic attack of Mughals and others who were ruling the kingdom. Who were controlling the land of India, So he desired that this Muslim people were actually destroying so many temples. So he told that, okay, to protect the great temple, he said, let there be two brave kings whom you can favor, who should protect this kingdom. And therefore he chose the two kings named Hariharar and Pukkar, these two kings. And they saved, those times they came and saved the kingdom from fighting the Islamic kings. And they created a new kingdom in honor of this Sri Vijayalakshmi, which is later came to be known as the most famous Vijayanagar Empire. It was set up on the glorification of this Lakshmi Devi. So Vijayadashmi, which we celebrate generally on the end of the Navratri, is also that Durga Puja, whatever is there, is glorifying this Lakshmi Devi who offers victory to those who, to the devotees who worship her. So I would like to end here. All glories to Sri Lakshmi Devi. There can be so many beautiful purports, so many beautiful points which can be taken out of the purport. Like this particular point where she is Bhagavat Para, one who is absolutely inclined to be possessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the nature of Mother Lakshmi. She is inclined to be possessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Absolutely knows her constitutional position. So although it appears that Lakshmi Devi is offering only wealth and dhanya and food and protection, her entire intention is to bring the conditioned soul back to the service of Narayan. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.